Hello? Hello?
Are we on?
Hello.
Oh, goodness.
Thought I'd just dive in before the song finished, you know?
Took me by surprise a little bit there, I'll be honest. I was reading my email.
It sounds like I may have to sort a technical issue before the show actually gets going, though. Bassano seems to be having some issues.
It wouldn't be the first time that's happened, let's be honest.
Well, goodness me, we're on time. Lord knows things, you know, could go smoothly.
I told you not to sit there all smug going, oh, we're going to start on time. Never happens. I mean, technically we have started on time.
Yes.
But not smoothly.
I have placed a link in the
show
comments
notes?
Thread.
Oh,
for Bassano to try and see if that fixes the issue. I'm not sure what the problem might be, unless I can't see that Apple would have changed anything. There's no technical problems. I don't know what the issue might be. So I will see if that helps Bassano. And if not, we will endeavour to fix the problem whilst continuing with the show.
He says that's better.
Oh, brilliant. Solved. Carry on. The show's back on. Woo!
We are starting on time then.
Slight deviation there. Hello, one, hello all. Is there anybody around? Because we are going up against...
Hello, Wembley!
We're going up against Sky's Friday night F1 show, which isn't wise, but this is essentially the only time on a Friday that we've got to do a show.
I think it says a lot that we used to be like, oh, we're never going to be able to go up against Top Gear, let's not even bother. And we're like, yeah, Sky, let's just do it.
Well, yeah, I've seen their viewing figures for this year. And aside from Lou and Lukey, nobody else is watching, I think. They have... A very, very small number of viewers, and yeah. I think BBC are quite surprised by how many they've retained.
Well, you know, have they seen Sky's coverage?
The Anchorman is
Anchorman
a bit dodgy, which doesn't help. They've actually got Sky. So maybe we should talk about this show. We'll talk about this in the show. Ask me about Sky in a bit.
That's
okay. A good plan, because there's stuff to say about Sky. You know, we just say this is still the welcome bit, right? We haven't started Feet Up Friday, even though my feet are up and I'm quite chilled out.
It's worth saying that I do have some notes, but last time we did a show, I don't remember whether it was the impromptu one or the last time we did a Fiat Friday, but people were diving in with discussion topics and things that we could potentially talk about, and they are always welcome.
So what you're saying is you've not written any show notes.
You're
relying on the comments.
No, I have some.
To save your backside.
No, I have some, but not extensive.
Not extensive.
That's all I'm going to say.
Interesting. Okay. Bassano said there's some clipping. I don't know why there's audio clipping. There should not be.
Well, I'm closer to my microphone because you always tell me off. I can back it up.
Let me have a quick look at some levels just to see how we're doing. That level's okay.
Talk like this.
Don't know. You sound like you're in another room. I am going to back mine off a fraction. It might be me that's clipping.
You're always too loud. Noisy. Oh.
That's a scratchy pot that needs fixing. We need a new mixing desk.
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
How embarrassing.
Oh, someone heard my scratchy pot.
It's not a sentence you hear every day, is it?
Talk to me again. How's that for your levels? I need to put my ears up now because I can't hear myself. Can you still hear me, Christine?
Yes.
Can you still hear me, world?
I have to wait for a minute.
Wait for a delay.
Satellite delay.
Blame pasta. Kai's listening in a car.
Yeah, we like that.
That's awesome.
On the move.
Wow.
Do you think she might be going around a track?
That would be that would be really insane.
That would
it?
Be weird.
That would be so off-putting.
Yeah.
Will said he's not alone, but he's the only one listening in the room. I'm disappointed because I wanted to give a shout out to Ali and surprise her. But
who's Ali?
I think it's Will's better half.
Oh my god, you stalk her.
Well, I would have been
great.
You
know everything about everyone's families.
I wanted to do a really nice shout out when she wouldn't be, you know, expecting it, and then she's not listening anyway. So never mind. That didn't work at all.
Bless you, you old romantic, you.
I was trying to score him some brownie points and get him, you know, give him some leeway to listen.
Mm.
Anyway.
I think he's moved some bookcases now, he'll be all right.
Okay, he's bought himself some time.
I think so.
We best get on with the show then. Is there anyone else? I mean, who have we got in the comments? A quick roll call?
Okay, but as before, there is no list at the bottom, so good luck, everyone.
Do you not remember?
Lukey and Luke, two separate people, please remember that.
Lukey and Luke are both in the comments. Oh, yep. Lukey and Luke side by side.
Oh, good Lord, it's going to be a long show. Bassano and Kai and Will and Ryan. Me and you. Oh, no, that's different.
We don't count.
David was around. I'm not sure if he's still around. He popped up earlier.
I think he popped off to see Georgie.
Right.
So when she, I bet he comes back when she disappears off screen.
Yep,
that
would
my
make
guess.
Sense. Yeah. I think that might be it.
Good. Will says she hates F1. No, we see a shout out from the side podcast might
You think you have a lot of sway, but I'm not convinced. Well,
if people don't like Formula One, it's usually because they don't like cars and they don't like the noise. And that's exactly the opposite of side podcast. You know,
what, we're not noisy.
We're not cars.
Okay, let us begin our show.
It's supposed to be free on Friday. It's supposed to be chilled out. I'm a bit hyper. I'm a bit excited.
What you want to say is you're excited because you haven't done it in a long while, but we're going to talk about that in the show. So if we could just begin. I don't always have excessive amounts of show notes for this because it's meant to be relaxed and free-flowing, but I do have some notes, and they say, oh, that was a great Spanish Grand Prix. Pastor Maldonado won a race and everything. Woohoo! Yeah.
Are your show notes out of date for some reason?
I wrote some show notes for a show that never happened.
Oh, no. This is going to be my fault, isn't it?
Yeah, it is all your fault. We've actually talked about this briefly before because we did an impromptu show, but this is our first Feet Up Friday since the massive hiatus. And what was that hiatus all about, please?
Well, it was all my fault because I was slightly unwell and I'm still not.
You're on the mend.
Perfect. And basically I couldn't record a show and therefore there were no shows. Because without me there are no shows.
Exactly.
Well, F1 Minute carried on every single day without me, of course. But in terms of Feet Up Friday, it would be very difficult to do it by yourself. And I wasn't very well. We'll say ah.
Yeah.
We'll try.
Ah.
And but now I'm feeling an awful lot better. Not perfect, but for the first time in 8 weeks, I can hear you again, you know, which is a blessing and a curse.
But we are back, and the Spanish Grand Prix was won by Pastor Maldonado.
A long time ago.
A lot of other races have happened in between, most recently the British Grand Prix, and I'm sure that we will talk about that anytime soon.
I have made a fail. I'm just going to go
on. Done it again, have you?
No, I haven't put you in surround sound. No.
That was a nightmare.
I'm on the thread, you know, where you comment.
Yeah.
And I've got a pending box and I can't read any comments. And I can't keep clicking, so I've got to change to the comments page. Hold on. So I get the updates. Okay, I'm there now. I apologise.
I'm on the thread too. Is that not right?
Well, if you type a comment, it'll... I'll wait for the jingle to finish.
Mm-hmm.
If you type a comment, it will suddenly, the pending box will come up and you'll miss it.
I see. And you can't click. I get what you're saying now.
If I click it, it sort of makes this noise on the live show. It just doesn't work.
Where are we going to begin?
Well, have you discussed with the commenters the fact that they're going to write our show for us and we're relying on them for topics?
We talked about that like 5 minutes ago.
Okay, then that was next on my list to discuss. What's next on your list to discuss? Don't ask me what we're doing next if you know more than I do.
Okay.
I don't know what's next on my list because I don't have any show notes. Is that what you want me to say out loud?
No. Well, we have some stuff about Maria.
Okay.
You want to talk about that first? Or?
Let's talk about that. After our impromptu show, we got a tiny amount of grief it came from all quarters. Some on Facebook, some on Twitter. People were shocked, I think would be the best way of describing it, that we were criticising Maria de Velosa prior to her testing accident.
I don't think they were surprised we were criticising her. I think it's just unfortunate timing that we criticised her and then she had a big accident and it was very uncertain for a few days what was going to happen to her. And people were saying things like, oh, I hope you don't feel guilty about what you said. Which, not really, because it's still true.
It was a terrible decision to employ her as a third driver when she didn't have a super license, and I stand by that criticism. However, she had a horrible accident whilst testing a Formula One car for the first time, put her in hospital. It was very, very serious, life-threatening for a period, but she has rallied. And she is much better now.
Well, the latest update was, I think, 2 days ago, so that's about a week, 8 days after her accident. She had two surgeries, one of which was ridiculously long, like all night. But she is awake and I think they put it communicating freely, which I don't really know what that means, but she's talking with her family and things are looking a bit brighter.
It's often said that Formula One drivers recover faster than average human beings. And I think you'd have to say Maria's recovering faster than everybody expected, even those within Formula One. And it's good that she's made the recovery that she has made. I still think Marussia were wrong to employ her in the first place. Well, I don't think that, you know, it was the right person to put into that team.
I think our criticism...
And they should take some blame for that.
I think our criticism wasn't actually particularly harsh. She was saying that she doesn't have a super license, which she doesn't, as much as I don't. That is sort of a separate issue to crashing a straight line test, which just shouldn't happen. It's just bizarre.
It is. It is an extremely unfortunate accident. Desperately, desperately awful for her, because, I mean, that is effectively her Formula One dreams are over because of that accident. And that's a crying shame. But we are, you know, I don't think it was the right thing for the team to do.
Interestingly, we talked a lot about what happens when Timo Glock can't race and Marussia are left without a driver. And this has happened with Maria. And there's been a 2-day young driver test in Silverstone this week. And Marussia have fielded two young fellas who have now both got enough mileage to get their super licenses.
So they have learned. Much so like they may have learned. Ferrari learned from the Luca Badoa incident when they had Luca Badoa running around the back very, very slowly and an embarrassment to that team. They soon learned that reserve drivers were incredibly important. And I'm sure after Timo Glock, after they find themselves missing a driver in a Grand Prix, they suddenly realised that actually it was slightly more significant to have these reserve drivers available when they need them than perhaps they'd perhaps give them credit for. I did want to point out one thing that I was slightly what's the best way to describe it? I thought Marussia mishandled their tweeting situation surrounding the testing, because if you prior to the test they were jolly and they were happy and there was a build up and, you know, here we are in the morning, bright and early, bushy tailed, look at us, here's all the cool stuff for this going on. Then the accident happened and they shut the doors on Twitter. They pulled down the virtual garage door, and they refused to speak on the social network for, I would guess, about 36 hours to it, and you know, they didn't say anything at all about this incident. And to my mind, Formula One likes to think that it does really well in the social media world, but I do wonder if people the people that the teams have tweeting are really trained to fully manage these situations, because it really felt like they were out of their depth.
Yeah, but
Twitter.
It wouldn't have been appropriate to be like, oh, now she's at the hospital and this is happening and this happened. No. Because they didn't know. They didn't know what's happening. They couldn't say anything about the accident because they had to investigate it. I don't know what you think they could have said in the situation. They had to wait a long time because they didn't have any facts to hand.
All eyes were on Twitter for the latest updates, because that's where testing updates were coming
from. They tweeted
them
when the statements came out.
They didn't. No, they said, if you want to know, we're not going to be tweeting anything about this. Go to our official website and look at our statement. Is what they actually said. And I just thought that was not really the best way to handle it. Because if you wanted Formula One news, if you wanted the latest updates, F1 journalists managed to communicate perfectly well the information. And they did it, you know, they managed to get across the information in 140 characters without blowing the situation out of proportion. I thought, Formula One journalists handled everything incredibly well. But I just thought Marussia didn't do such a good job. And I don't know, maybe I just think that Formula One teams don't take Twitter seriously enough. They don't have people trained for all situations. They just have guys and girls out there with mobile phones tweeting all the good news, but not tweeting any of the bad stuff.
Well, I think you judge them too harshly. I mean, it's you can't prepare for a situation like that. It was unexpected. You just can't.
I don't know. I wonder if maybe, you know, if it was NASCAR, they would have done it differently, or IndyCar, who were motorsports, which are better at handling social media than Formula One is. I would wonder if they would handle tweeting of an accident and updates following that accident better than Formula One did. I didn't, just thought I'd mention it. Anything else?
Well, no, that's all about that. You can't.
What do you want to
transition out of that?
You want a sweeper? I got a sweeper.
Can't transition out of that.
I got a sweeper. Got a sweeper for you. I got a sweeper for you.
Oh God, he started singing. He must be feeling better.
Yeah. I am feeling an awful lot better, has to be said. Ooh, just in time for the London meetup.
Good. Mm.
What's news in the comments? Hey, Merkin! Merkin Muffley! Oh! I know that makes you laugh.
Bless. Oh. People are suggesting silly season talk with Webber being signed and everything, so I'll add that to my notes.
We got off to a serious start there. Well, I do apologise.
Yes, well, we will address that situation.
What you mean is you're going to cut me out. I know what that means.
No, I'm not going to cut you out.
When it comes to editing the show, I'll be missing.
I think you're wrong.
Yes.
But just because I have the editing power doesn't mean I only do put in what I agree with.
You know that I don't listen back to check.
Okay. Right. So put that in there.
Marisha did used to have a really good Twitter person when they were Virgin. That was Jeff Collins, wasn't it? Jeff Collins used to be their Twitter person, and he's vanished. And I don't know who the new person favorite is. Jeff. Second favorite, yes, after Jeff.
Jeff off of Autosport.
I can't remember. Andrew Pence.
Crichton, I think. Crichton.
Yes. Next on the Liz writes some show notes.
Yeah, this is a good point. Web R. Resigned.
Tell me if we have good news to discuss in Formula One.
Yeah, that was a bit of a serious start. Unfortunately, I can't get to the good news yet, because if we're going to talk about the action at Silverstone, we have to talk about all the non-action at Silverstone. And by that, I mean the car parks.
No!
We only have to talk about it briefly because...
Oh, it's more bad news. Terrible news.
They can't control the weather. This is understandable. Mm-hmm. And if your car parks are flooding or whatever happened, it's hard to get around that. I understand. But turning people away from a race is never a good situation to be in. There must have been a solution that really has to be like the last resort. Well, our last-ditch effort.
Our last show came off the back of you being in a very bad mood because you couldn't get to Goodwood.
I needed something to cheer me up.
You sat in a queue for 4.5 hours and you came back quite miffed. How do you feel now that you know Formula One fans sat in a queue for 9.5 hours and still didn't get into Silverstone?
I feel like I got away very lightly. They paid a lot more money.
I am genuinely at a loss for words to describe my disbelief in the way that things went down at Silverstone. It's been raining in the UK for forever. It always rains in the UK. And failing to plan for rain is a failure to plan. I did hear in GP Plus, I read
plan
in GP Plus.
Fail.
Yes. Yes.
That's the way it goes.
That would have been better. I did read in GP Plus magazine that part of the problem was the fact that the Olympics have commandeered all of the aluminium planking that usually goes down on grass car parks to strengthen them. And that's part of the problem that Goodwood had, and the reason that I think Goodwood lost one car park. And it's another reason that Silverstone had so many car parks out of action because of the Olympics. So that's a one-off event that's never going to happen again. You have to assume that Silverstone are going to learn from their mistakes.
Well, you would hope, but hasn't this happened to them before?
Yeah.
Everyone was referencing a previous
12 years ago,
year
10 years ago, something like that.
And I just don't understand. On the Friday, everyone was saying that they couldn't get there, they were stuck in traffic. And I know it's easy for me to sit here and go, well, why don't they just send a bus down the road, turn that into a car park and take everyone to the circuit, create a sort of park and ride using the roads, because no one is moving anyway. It's easy for me to sit here and say that. I don't know what the laws and the health and safety and all that rubbish that you'd have to sort out, but I just think that getting people in the gate has to be the most important thing, and turning people away, saying, please don't come to the race or to the qualifying, that just can't happen.
We have been to the British Grand Prix in previous years. We last went in 2009, and I recall during that race, you froze to death. You got soaked and you came home unwell. And that was a wet Grand Prix. Now, when it rained then, we got in and out fine. So this was exceptional.
I did have a bit of wheel spin on the exit, but...
Yeah, there was some cues, but this was an exceptionally bad summer. A vast amount of rainfall fell in the days preceding the Grand Prix. But I don't know how they managed to forget all of their previous good work. And they just threw it all out the window and chaos ensued. I blame Damon Hill for leaving.
Yeah.
Because it wouldn't have happened on his watch. That's all I can say.
But the rain didn't just affect the car parks and that. It also affected the action, because we saw a red flag in qualifying and a 90-minute delay.
That was long.
It went
on and on and on.
I didn't feel so wherever it was last time when we were really annoyed at the red flag break because it was 2 hours long. This 90-minute one didn't feel quite as long as that. So
part of the reason was we didn't have anywhere else to go.
Aha. Uh-huh.
We had all Saturday afternoon to ourselves, and whereas the Canadian red flag, that was a Sunday evening and we had stuff to get on with, and Formula One was delaying us. But whereas this, I didn't have anything to do last Saturday, so I didn't really mind hanging around with Formula One fans, talking in the comments. Yeah, it would have been desperately awful if we didn't have the Fat by Fat Box and the comments to discuss things with. If we were watching on the sofa, I think we would have given up. So there is that to be said about Side Podcast. May have saved saved our sanity there. But when it rains like that, you can't do too much about it. Formula One, we've had plenty of discussions as to why Formula One cars can't run in the rain in the past. We've proposed lots of solutions. In 2007, I think, I suggested that Silverstone needed a roof. And I stand by that. I think it needs a very long roof, the length of the track.
Yeah, in the live comments, Lukey has just said they should use the roof from Wimbledon.
Just pull it across.
Yeah, that would work.
I don't. You don't need the bit in the middle to be covered. Just you know, a thin strip all the way around the circuit.
Right.
It can't be that hard to do. It would be very easy in Singapore. I mean, okay, here's another point. Singapore can light an entire circuit with floodlights and strip lights, etc., and all the gantry that goes around the circuit. So all you need is that again on the other side, and then panels across the top, and you'd have a completely dry track in all weathers.
Well, I think you need to suggest this to, I don't know, Dragon's Den or something.
And what, suggest that they're going to make money out of this?
Yeah.
I don't know how to make money out of
it. You sell it to the circuits, obviously.
Oh, okay. I was thinking purely from a fan's point of view. If you had a dry track, you would see more action, because on Friday, the fans that did get into the circuit didn't see very much action. There was, 11 laps, I think, was the most that was run in free practice one, and it didn't get much better in free practice two. You at least saw some action in qualifying, even if it was punctuated by an almighty break.
Yep. Fernando Alonso took pole position, which I think is something of a surprise.
What, because he was going backwards at one point on the grass?
Because Ferrari have, I think they've been sneakily saying, we're still not feeling very confident, we don't think we're fast enough. No expectations, don't look at us. And then actually, now they are one of the fastest cars out there.
So you think they've caught up and now they are...
But this whole time they've been pretending like it's just not good enough and they're not getting anywhere. And sneakily, they've blindsided me and come up and been amazingly fast, because Alonso was on course to win two races in a row.
The Ferrari was not a very good car at the start of the season. So that is still true.
But it's unusual for Ferrari to be able to develop their way that quickly. Usually that is reserved for McLaren, who have spectacularly failed in that regard so far this year.
Interesting.
It's kind of like they've reversed.
McLaren have gone backwards and Ferrari have gone forwards. So has anybody left McLaren and gone to Ferrari? Yes. But I forgot his name. The comments will tell us in a minute. Someone has done that, haven't they? But that was a while ago, not recently. I'm wondering if there's anyone we can attribute the blame to.
Well, there is... a different, not Ferrari, but if you look elsewhere, Williams have got a lot better this year.
Who are you blaming for that then?
Someone left Williams and went to McLaren.
Yeah, that is harsh. I know Sam Michael is coming for an awful lot of criticism from me, as well as anybody else. His job, I don't think, makes much difference. Has no bearing on aerodynamics and car pace and that kind of thing.
But didn't you tell me that he was in charge of the pit stops? At McLaren.
He's in charge of, what is he, like race director or something? So he's in charge of getting all the people in the right place at the right time.
And that includes the sporting director.
Right, and that includes the pit stop. So yeah, that is Sam Michael's watch, and they haven't been stellar, but they were very good at Silverstone, and McLaren was still damn slow.
Yeah.
It's not all his fault.
No, but if he is in charge of the pit stops, I mean, he has a lot of head scratching to do for the things that have happened so far this year. So McLaren are slow, we know, and it is a bit surprising to see them... knowing what to do.
Jenson Button's pace is worse than surprising. Surprising is not a strong enough word. Shocking?
Yeah. The bit I am surprised about is that they don't seem to know what to do about it. Usually, it always feels like they have a plan. They're working on it. At the moment, it feels like they're just wandering around going, this is funny. This car's a bit slow. I don't know what to do.
Somehow, Jenson is managing to make them look worse than they are. I think the strategy failed them in Silverstone, and that hurt Hamilton, because he could have been up a couple of places higher with a more sensible strategy, and then their weekend wouldn't have looked too bad at all. More concerning, I think, than all of the above, is that Lotus have this massive pace, and they're unable to string together a race weekend and to do anything with it. You've got a Lotus car there that's as fast as the car that won the race, and yet, what are they? Fifth, sixth, seventh? That's where they're coming in each race.
And there was radio traffic from Hamilton saying we shouldn't have covered Grosjean because he's way faster than us.
He was.
But Grosjean keeps having incidents, and sometimes when he's looking good on a good charge, you know, going to finish high up in the points on the podium, And it doesn't happen because he crashes out or he has an accident. Now, here's an interesting thing.
Not only that, though, his engine did blow up at one race.
Yeah, I am one of Grosjean's biggest fans at the moment. It changes. I'm quite flighty like that, you know, it happens. But I'm one of his biggest fans at the moment. And it seems to me that he could have a lot more points than he does already because things keep happening to him. And things also keep happening to Pastor Maldonado. And I am not his biggest fan. And it worries me that both of them seem to be caught up in lots of incidents because I don't want to think that they are similar.
I can't imagine that Grosjean is anything like Pastor Maldonado. Pastor Maldonado is unique in this year's Formula One field in that he is probably the one driver who is there thanks to his money. Well, he's the
one driver thanks to his money. Really?
In this year's field, what other pay drivers are there?
Surely Carter Kane is a pay driver.
Well, yeah, I suppose he is. Okay, Carter Kane and Maldonado. But they are the only two people who aren't there on genuine merit. I'm trying to think of anybody else who shouldn't be in this year's Formula One field.
Petrov?
No, I think he would probably... Okay, here's what I think about Vitaly Petrov. I think that had... It's controversial. I don't know if I can say this. Had Lotus kept him instead of Kimi Raikkonen, I think they would have more points than they currently do this season.
Are you saying that just to get in my good books?
No, not at all. Petrov knew the team, and I don't think he did a terrible job with the car last year, and I think the car is faster than it was last year. I understand that Romain had some issues at the start of the season and needed to get his eye in, but I think he's...
He's getting there.
I think he's finding the pace. He's unlocked the pace in that car. He had the engine problem. He rubbed his front wing in the last race, and the next race he's got a 5-place grid drop thanks to a gearbox problem. So none of those are particularly his fault. The rest have moved across in front of him, and that was only because the rest didn't know he was there. I don't think either driver was at fault for what happened in Silverstone.
He had a crash in qualifying, but then it was raining, and he is relatively still quite inexperienced.
He also got his time in before he did that, which should be noted. I mean, he put a fast lap in before he threw off the road, which is the best thing to do. I mean, he lost the final qualifying session, but what I would say is Kimi Raikkonen, he's not unlocked the pace yet. And he's come back from his hiatus, and I don't think he's done any better than Vitaly Petrov would have done in that car.
Yeah, and there was some epic Kimi radio in this week's race edit, as pointed out by Badger GP, where they tell him to, I don't know what they were telling him to do, push harder or get this corner right or something. And he said, I'm doing my best. Leave me alone.
But your teammate is doing better.
Yeah. If that's your best... you're not getting the most out of the car.
It's not good enough.
Oh my God, it's not good enough. You don't like Kimi anymore.
Oh, I love him, really. I like the picture in the garage with him. I'll tell you what, I've got one other thing to say. I just remembered. This isn't any show notes because I only thought of it this afternoon. I did have one question about Lotus, which I wanted to broach on the show and to the people in the comments. And I don't know how well, or maybe, am I correct? I don't know. Let's think this through out loud. With Danny Behar now out of Lotus Group, or Group Lotus, with Danny Behar now out of Group Lotus, is it okay to like Lotus F1 again? Is it cool again? Because he was the big problem and the thing we didn't like with the whole argument with Tony Fernandez in the name, right? Now I'm allowed to like them again.
Well,
they've got Kimi, they've got Romain, they've got a fast car, the livery is unfortunate, and the name is slightly unfortunate, but I'm allowed to like them again, aren't I?
You can like whoever you want. They're not Renault. And
Why aren't they, though? Well, it's the same people.
Yeah, but they're not.
They've still got Eric.
No. Then they're not going to be Renault again. But you can like them again now that they don't have what's-his-face anymore.
I want to like them again.
Well, that's all right, then. You do that. People are pointing out that Kimi has finished second twice, and, you know, he's done all right. So you're being a bit harsh by saying it's just not good enough.
How many times did Petrov finish twice? I think Petrov finished on the podium twice, didn't he? I think Kimi and Petrov are about the same right now. I'm not saying that Kimi couldn't become better. I'm just saying that if they kept Petrov, they'd be maybe a bit farther ahead. You okay? You look concerned.
Yeah, no. Anyway, where I was trying to go with this whole conversation was Maldonado. And
oh, why didn't you say so?
Crashing a lot.
Tell me what you think of Maldonado.
Well, in the last show, I think I expressed my opinion quite well.
Remind me.
I said I hate him. And I have not changed that opinion. I have not revised it at all. I think it's harsh of me to say. Hate is a strong word. I'm going to go with it.
And nothing he did at Silverstone convinced you otherwise?
Well, not really. Because that incident with Perez, it could have been a racing incident. It looked slightly like it was Pastor's fault to me.
Mm-hmm.
But then again, he did say afterwards that he had the cold tyres and couldn't stop in time or whatever. But there's just something about the attitude that is like, it's not my fault. It wasn't me. He can say what he likes. I don't care.
And what do you think of Perez's statement that he's a danger?
Well, if what he says is true and they've been talking about him, other drivers have been chatting together and complaining, then there's probably something to worry about, isn't there?
I could imagine that. Well, we know for a fact that Lewis Hamilton has spoken out against Pastor Maldonado. He did last year when they had an incident at Monaco and they had an incident at Spa. And I can see that more than one driver has issues with the way Pastor's driving, but he has won a race. You know, won a race. Well, it's not easy to win a race in Formula One, is it? You can't just rock up and just go ahead and just pop one in.
Everyone said, which was which we were going to discuss in my show notes that never came to fruition.
Mm.
Everyone then was suddenly, oh, Pastor's won a race. I hope you're revising your opinion of him now. Well, no, actually. I know it's not easy, but for some reason, he was on pole position, and it's not hard to win a race from pole position.
It is still. I still think it's hard to win a Formula One race.
You're wrong.
I think he won a great. Okay, fine. I think his race was a good race win. He won it with great tyre management abilities. He didn't throw the car off the road once. He looked after his engine and he brought the car home. And I don't, you know, we can't take that away from him.
Okay.
He didn't win it by fluke.
I'm not taking that away from him. He won a race because he was in a fast car and that was on pole position. And he managed to get it round in one piece to the end without crashing into anybody, which was quite surprising at the time.
Yep.
And he won a race. So yes, he's in the history books. He's won a race. That's great for him. He's also crashed into about 17 different people
over more than 2 years, because he did the same in GP2.
Over his whole career.
Over his entire racing career, he has crashed a lot.
Does one win make up for all of that? That's the real question, isn't it?
No, it doesn't. But there are other drivers in the Formula One field who haven't ever won a race, and in some cases aren't ever likely to. Now, I would have put Pastor in that crowd before, but he's proved us wrong and he won the race. So I'm not going to take that away from him either. I'm not defending the guy. But then again, he's bringing money to Williams, and look how good. We like it when Williams do well. Firstly, I like a Williams win. I like Williams having the money to develop their car, and Pastor brought both of those to the team.
You are defending him.
Not really. Honest, I'm not.
And see, Bassano said, Pastor won because Lewis took a grid penalty. That's why he was on pole. That's how he got his win. I'm not having it.
Yeah, but Lewis's pole was false. Hold on a second. No, Lewis got pole because he cheated. Lewis got pole because his car was lighter than everybody else in the field. If Lewis Hamilton had come in when he was supposed to come in, he wouldn't have been that fast.
Yeah. No, I'm not buying it.
What? You and Bassano. Get out of here. Get out of town.
I like that. He's brushing us off. Me and Bethano.
I can't. Okay.
Anyway.
Fine. There's an interesting. I will add one other thing, and that there is a new Aside with Joe coming tomorrow, if we ever get around to editing it. Hopefully. We find time in our massive schedule to get that
out.
And Joe had some interesting things to say, and I'm desperately trying to walk around the subject so I don't repeat what he says and
does
claim it's mine.
Does he defend him too?
No, it's just I don't want to steal his lines, because he put it better than I could. And I don't want to, you know. And I do,
that's true of most things, to be fair.
That's true of my whole life.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is, because people are hearing this before they hear the Joe Show.
Yeah, I'm with it.
Exactly that. But yeah, have a listen to that as well. That's got some other good information, some good insight from Joe on Pasta.
You see, you wait 6 weeks for a show, and then two come along at once.
When I can talk, when I can listen, when I can hear, you know, we can do all sorts of things. It's amazing what you can't do when you can't hear. Oh, we didn't mention Pastel Crash. Oh, Pastel Crash. Fast or crash.
Yeah, but that's a hashtag. Hashtags in audio don't really work that well.
Don't they? I'll tell you what, just for the live people, this probably won't go in Theatre Friday, but what do you reckon to past or crash as a game show in the next panel? Past or crash, what you could do is describe an incident of Pastor Maldonado coming up behind another driver, and then you have to decide whether or not you got past or you crashed. Past or crash. Past or
like,
crash.
Is it on a question of sport when they play a clip and it's like what happened next and they pause it at right, a specific yes. moment?
Did he get past yeah. or did he crash? I think that could actually be a really good game show in audio. Next panel show. You know you want to do that, don't you? You could get like a load of clips in audio. You could describe them. You could play it. That bit wouldn't... Yeah, Bernie would never let us do that. You have to describe the incident. You have to set the scene of every incident and say, okay, here's the car. Here's his position. Here's the race. Here's what he's doing. Did he make the pass successfully, cleanly? Did he throw it off the road or did he crash into anyone else? We have to give Stephen Roy credit for pass or crash. He completely... created it all, but I think we should definitely turn it into some kind of audio game show at some point in the future.
He created it. You turned it into like a hashtag, and now it's got a mind of its own.
I think.
I like the idea of the next panels being more game show style than the what? Because I mean, I like what we did before, but that was quite a while ago, and we've sort of done that.
Okay.
I like the idea of game show more quiz sort of question of sporty style.
Okay, we'll keep that in mind.
Not sporty style.
No.
Like sports.
If people in the comments want to come up with any more game shows or any more challenges along those lines that would work in audio, please
let
feel
us know.
Free. Yeah.
Anyway.
Back to the show. You still with us? You still okay?
Me?
Yeah.
Yeah?
You look really angry. People can't see this in audio, but you actually look really angry at Pastor. Like you're taking this quite seriously for a Feet Up Friday.
Well, yeah. I just don't... I can't even explain it. I mean, the thing is, before I even realised how rubbish he was, there's just something about him that riles me up. And I don't know what it is. Just one of those things, I think. My mum used to call it personality clash.
You and Matt Pastinado. Pastinaldo. You know what I don't like about the guy is his name.
You can't say his name. Yeah, we have a personality clash.
Interesting. For two people we've never met.
I'm sure he'd feel the same about me, and that's fine.
Will said he's lost sound. Anybody else lost sound? Is anybody out there? Lewis's time was for 0.578 seconds faster than Pastor. The fuel difference wasn't the reason he was penalised because he was breached the rules. Yeah, I know. Well, okay, no, fair enough, yeah. So you're saying that even if McLaren had put the correct amount of fuel in, he still would have been faster?
Well, 0.5. You can't take half a second in fuel, surely.
Right, the fuel wouldn't...
Is that what he means?
Yeah, no, I see. Yeah, I see what you're saying. Okay, so hold on. No, yeah, okay. Bassano has a point. All right, so fine. That means you also have a point, I guess. So Pastor should have been second, but you don't know how Lewis would have done in the race. You're still speculating. I mean, he didn't put a foot wrong, and Lewis might have. Also, if Pastor came up behind Lewis, let's just take Valencia as an example. Pastor ran him off the road and into the wall, then carried on his merry way.
He wouldn't have won it though.
He might have.
Not if you can't run someone off the road.
Pastor can. If anyone can. You just don't know. I know what you're saying.
Like Ryan sums it up. Pastor does look like the kind of chap who would cut in front of you in Starbucks. That is exactly it.
That's a great transition, by the way, because let's talk about Alonso's chop.
Okay, but was that all that in the show?
No. Oh, that's not a great transition.
Because I can do that in...
Yeah, could transition us in. Steal that. And
I can't remember what the last thing we actually said that was going to be in the show.
I don't know. This is why you can't edit the show live now. You can fix the problem.
I'm editing it in my head all the time.
No.
That's how it gets so good.
No. Will's back.
Good.
He is the kind of guy who would show you.
Yeah. I'm going to say it. In the comments, I think Ryan has summed up the whole conversation really in one sentence. It just says, Pastor does look the kind of chap who would cut in front of you in a Starbucks. And that's it. He does. He would chop in front of you.
Yeah, fine. But he also looks like the kind of guy who I don't want to get on the wrong side of. Love you, Pastor. Let's talk about... Oh, you do it. I ruined that. You do it.
Do you need to do that again?
No. Yes, probably. I ruined
that. We
both
took a breath and I
didn't.
No, it's fine. Talking of chopping... Did you see that Fernando Alonso?
At the start of the race?
Yeah.
Cheeky monkey. I tell you what, if that was Schumacher, I'd have been livid.
But because it's not, you're not.
Well, the thing is, Fernando has yet to make a career out of chopping people up off the start line. However, I have got my eye on him because that was rude. And Paul Webber had to do the opposite manoeuvre to make sure that he didn't end up colliding with the guy. I thought it was unnecessary. Did Alonso get a terrible start and felt the need to defend aggressively? Was he always planning to do that?
Well, he didn't get a Vettel-style start. And actually, through the whole race, really, he never managed to pull out a massive gap to Red Bull. It looks like those two cars are quite similar on pace.
But did he have it in his head that Webber was going to make an astonishing start and he just had to make sure that
Webber.
He couldn't... Yeah. It just seemed over the top.
It did seem unnecessary, but maybe he was just paranoid about the start of the race. Interestingly, because we've watched the race edit, the official F1 race edit, quite recently, and it seems like Red Bull knew practically the whole time what they were doing. They had their strategy thought out, and when Alonso came out on his last stop, came out of his last stop on the option tyres, they knew that they were going to be able to
their race
him.
Was theirs. That is, yeah, we've got to do a better job of keeping on top of driver strategies during the race, because I didn't see that unfolding the way that Red Bull did. And obviously they've got more information because they're a Formula One team and they've got lots of people working on it, but the fact that they knew exactly how the rest of the race would go purely from that one stop leads me to think that we just don't have, you know, we're not enough on top of it, even with the fat by fat box and everything that goes on and all the comments. I still missed the way that Alonso tires, you know, how much Alonso had to give on those tires. And we should have known that and we didn't. And it's very impressive that they could then call the race from that point.
Yeah, particularly because the tires have just been such an unknown quantity this year. I mean, all the teams are saying...
Not to Red Bull.
No.
They know.
All the teams are saying they can't make predictions anymore and they're giving up with that kind of thing. And it's just a free-for-all, really, but Red Bull seem to know what they're doing. I've always said the tyres confuse me, though, so it wasn't a surprise that I didn't know what was going on. That you didn't know, that was more of a surprise.
I'm disappointed in myself. Yeah, I must try and pay more attention in Germany.
Do you need to try a bit harder? Actually, Webber, talking of Mr. Webber, he went on to win the race with his good strategy, and through that whole weekend he was saying things like, my future is still unknown, when it's the time is right, I'll decide, there's no contract talks happening or anything, it's all fine. And then 2 days later, he's re-signed with Red Bull.
Who's he re-signed with?
I don't know, some drinks company or something. And then 2 days later, he signed with Red Bull again for another year. One more year.
He likes the rolling contracts. It suits him.
A year at a time.
What do you make of this then? What are you thinking? This is good for who? Good for Webber?
Firstly, I'm a bit annoyed because Webber doesn't really strike me as a type to be all, you know, the coy type. No, nothing's going on. It's all secret and fine. I'm not going to make a decision yet. And then 2 days later, it's all signed, sealed and delivered. Unless it really did happen in those 2 days, just because you won the race. But that I was a bit annoyed about that.
Okay.
Because Webber's always more outspoken and honest and not the type to do that, I've always felt.
Okay. And do you think that it's good for Red Bull? No, they got the continuity is the word I'm looking for. They've got the continuity, just like McLaren.
They seem to be a good partnership. It's worked well for them so far. Now that they've worked out all the kinks, so to speak, I think also what is interesting is that it takes Webber out of the equation for the Ferrari seat. So that is still very much up in the air.
It is, but Massa, we talked on. Which show would it have been? It would have been the previous show. We talked recently about Felipe Massa, and I recall saying I hoped that he had turned a corner and he could prove it in Silverstone, and I think he did. I think in qualifying at one point he was faster than Fernando Alonso. That's good. It was damp conditions, it was tricky conditions, not somewhere where Massa often excels. He did spin in the wet, but then so did Alonso. I think Alonso spun twice during the weekend in the wet, and Massa only did it once. So that's good. And did he do enough to save his seat? I don't know. It's a good step in the right direction. You've now got Monaco, you've got Canada, you've got Valencia, and you've got Silverstone, all reasonable performances. Two slip-ups in amongst there, but actually, you know, forward-looking, decent performances.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he has been doing better, but I don't know. I really like Massa.
Who would you like alongside Alonso instead? Because I wouldn't want anybody to go to that seat and be battered over the head with Fernando Alonso.
Yeah, it is hard because it's only ever going to be someone from a midfield team that wants to make that massive step up. And then they're not doing themselves any favours, really. It's just because it's for the glory of the team rather than for any hope of being able to beat Alonso. So it's hard to say. I mean, there's De Resta, but he would do better at Mercedes. I can see him
Michael Schumacher to move aside for De Resta. And if Michael Schumacher isn't going to move aside, then maybe Ferrari would be better for De Resta. Especially if Michael Schumacher's going to stay around for years and years.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't seem to be bothered that he hasn't got the pace he used to have. He's just happy to trundle around at the speed he's going. And therefore, yeah, I mean, Massa at Ferrari for another year suits me fine, I think.
Yeah. I was going to say, I really like Massa. You know, he seems like a really nice man, and he's doing better, but I don't know. I'm not feeling it.
Are you bored of him?
Well, I don't want to say bored, but it does seem like perhaps someone else could do something better in that car. But the other interesting thing is, because Alonso is such a young spring chicken, he has, I mean, he's got like at least 10 years left of driving. Mm-hmm. So no one is going to be able to be in that car alongside him for 10 years and get to number one above him.
Alonso is at the absolute peak of his game. I thought he was great in Renault. I thought he was absolutely magnificent when he took his two world championships, and he's only got better and better since then. For some reason, the two terrible years at Renault that followed his trip to McLaren didn't deter him. They didn't put him off. He didn't sort of lose interest. It almost seems like it just spurred him on. He was learning all the time, and he's getting better. And he's without question, in my mind, the best driver in the field right now in Formula One. But that won't last forever.
Not going to last for 10 more years.
No. His reflexes and his fitness will tail off. Look at Michael Schumacher. Look at Kimi Raikkonen. The older you get, the harder it gets, and that won't be the case. And at some point in the future, someone will come along and beat him. Fernando Alonso hasn't got the fastest car, but he's at the top of the championship table by some distance. And that's a testament to what he's done this year. Did I hear that it's been something like what is the preposterous figure that he hasn't been out of the points since something like 2010?
Yep.
Finishing the points every single race. The guy is a train, but not like a trolley train.
No, a good train.
Like an express train.
Yeah.
The guy is absolutely astounding. And there are comments, I'm just reading now, comments, Perez to go to Ferrari. I think Massa one more year. Give Perez one more year at Sauber, which is a great place for Perez to be learning. And then Perez to replace Massa in 2014. That would be good. That gives the guy 2 years to follow Alonso while he's still got his pace. And then time to replace him as the Ferrari number one driver in the long, long-term future.
Yeah, because Massa came from Sauber too, didn't he? So
that it works. That works.
Poetry. That's all I have about the race.
Jordan suggested... Oh, okay. He's joking. Fine. I thought he was genuinely suggesting...
I think what he's trying to say is anyone.
Right. No, I don't see... You've got to remember that Massa was ahead of Ferrari. Massa was ahead of Alonso in Hockenheim 2 years ago, before they made the guy pull over to let Alonso pass, before they got inside his head and messed up his rhythm. The guy has the pace to beat Alonso on his day. It won't be every day, but he had that. And then Ferrari did what they did, and I think they caused more trouble than it was worth by pulling that stunt. And Massa's taken a while to come back. I think Massa's head was straight coming into the start of this season. It's just the car was rubbish. And now the car's better, as you rightly pointed out earlier on. It's no longer the dog that it was at the beginning of the year. Massa is able to get on top of it. It was just such a terrible car that only Alonso could drive it. I don't think Massa's that bad. Lukey says he'll have a go. Yeah. He's not Bourdais. Massa is not Bourdais. Not Bourdais. He's not Badoa. It's not that bad. You know, he's not an embarrassment to the team. He's got Hockenheim, he's got Hungary. I think both are going to be good for Massa.
I think it was an embarrassment up to the last few races.
It
now
was
he's
terrible.
Pulled himself out.
Australia was
mediocre now.
The opening race of this season, easily Massa's worst race ever. Worse than 5 Massa spins in Silverstone. Worse than something, whatever it was. He hit 7 people whenever it was he was driving for Sauber. Whatever that number was, an extreme amount of accidents he got involved in. They were terrible races for him, but I think the start of this year, Australia... whatever race it followed, it was Malaysia or China? Where did we go after there?
Malaysia.
Another bad race for him. It was an awful start to the season. A testament to Ferrari that they didn't give up. Montezemolo tried to talk the guy out of the team several times.
Ferrari do have the loyalty.
Yeah, they have stuck by him, and possibly because they haven't got anyone else to replace him. But, you know, credit to them that they have given him a chance. Ryan's right. He's absolutely right. Perez will learn a lot more at Sauber not getting beaten by Alonso. I mean, how much can you learn following Alonso around? You can follow Alonso around in a Sauber and you can say, well, this car's faster than mine. Mm-hmm. You follow Alonso around in a Ferrari and that just means he's faster than you. And you don't want that at that age. Perez needs maybe not a win, but more podiums under his belt and more confidence.
He is, what was he, whatever it was he was described as, temperamental. Two temperamental drivers in one team is too much.
I genuinely think they'll make a great pairing in the future. 2014, 2015 is going to be great. Absolutely. Ferrari will no doubt, you know, get a catch up with, Ferrari will no doubt get back to where they should be in terms of car performance, where they were with Michael Schumacher. They're getting back on top of their development hiccups that they had in the last couple of years. There'll be a fast car with two great drivers, but just not yet. Is it me or the comments disagreeing with everything we're saying this evening?
That's all right. That's what we're here for.
I mean, you can't give Rob the seat. What's Rob going to do if Massa goes? That's the other problem.
Well, Rob was already saying that he wanted to leave and do something else. I don't think he'll be too sad.
His average qualifying, Perez's average qualifying performance is 14th or something. I'd be interested to know what it actually is, if it is that low, because that's in a Sauber, which was a top four car at the start of the year. That's pretty awful.
It's better over strategy, though, isn't it? It's not necessarily straight out pace. It's
Tell me when the last time Perez impressed you, because obviously he got taken out.
When he got on the podium with Grosjean.
Which was Canada. Okay.
So wasn't that low?
Yeah, that wasn't that low, was it? I forgot that. Okay. Yeah, that was a good drive. But he wasn't having a great time in qualifying Silverstone. Didn't have a great time in the race at Silverstone before he got punted out. Where was he when he got hit by Maldonado? It was a points position, but
they were like 7th or 8th or something.
It wasn't a top position. Monaco, he got hit by Perez twice. Or he got hit by Perez and his car broke because of that.
Perez got hit by Perez?
No, Perez got hit by Maldonado. Sorry. And then his car broke. So that wasn't his fault. But yeah.
Right. Whilst we're talking about driver switches and stuff, there is one more thing I just wanted to quickly mention. We talked briefly about the young driver test at Silverstone earlier when we were referencing Marussia. Williams also had Valtteri Bottas there. And he was there for both days. Over 2 days, he did almost 300 laps. And round Silverstone, that's like 6 races.
So that's an impressive reliability for the car.
He was fastest on both days, obviously, because he was only against Marussia and HRT. But he must be quite fit. I wonder whose seat he's in the running for.
Well, it can't be, if you're talking Williams, it can't be Pastis because he's funding the team.
Damn it.
So it's got to be Senna.
Oh, that's no good.
I think when you did your team-by-team review this week for the Silverstone Grand Prix, you pointed out that Senna did a sterling job, but he went almost unnoticed in the Grand Prix. And I have to admit, I barely saw the guy all weekend. I think Senna's doing, you know, Senna's slowly working his way up in that team, but I don't think it's going to be enough. And I think Bottas is so good. He might be the next Hulkenberg. You know, he might be Williams' next discovery.
Well, don't say that, because Hulk has gone off nowhere at the moment.
He has.
Gone off the boil.
He's not working it for Force India as I'd hoped it to be.
I thought it was going to be brilliant.
I did think that would be fireworks for that team. It would be the team to watch. And it's not really happened at all in Hulkenberg in the last two laps. His tyres went off a la Kimi.
Well, yeah, that's not his fault. If it happens to Kimi, it can happen to anyone.
Yeah, but that was disappointing. I think Bottas has got a good future. I think, you know, he could be in Formula 1 very soon. Let's talk, whilst you're talking about that test, though, one thing I must put forward. This test, the Silverstone test, was rumoured. There was talk of teams wanting to do it, not wanting to do it. Then it was declared it was going to be
illegal. I didn't think it was happening. I was completely taken by surprise when it was suddenly
What's the deal then with the teams who decided to do it? Because they are effectively getting a free test mid-season. They're doing aero work. They are potentially pulling their, you know, they're climbing up the field with this test, but only three teams decided to do it. Only HRT turned up for day one. they vanished before day two. You'd have to say that the teams who showed up are the teams who were most strapped for cash. HRT, not a rich team. Marussia, not a rich team. Williams, not a particularly well-off team either. So did they do this test for cost-saving reasons because they couldn't afford to do the young driver test at Abu Dhabi? Or did they do it for? Did they gamble and say, "Well, okay, well let's do a mid-season test and get some aero, get an aero advantage, but it might rain and we might be washed out and we might have to throw it away and it might be a, you know, did they gamble? Did they roll the dice and say, "Let's try it. Let's see what we can get out of a Silverstone test." What happened there? I don't know. I wonder that Williams might be even faster than the next race, and that's a bit of an unfair advantage.
Yeah, I have absolutely no idea. It doesn't make any sense to me, and it was so confusing which teams are doing it, who's not doing it, is it even going ahead? I don't think it's worked out very well from a fan's point of view, but then it's testing and that isn't always for the fans.
At the end of the season, I guess we're going to have the remainder of the teams doing their young driver tests and they'll be testing their cars for next year.
Yeah.
So do Williams lose out on their 2013 chassis plans? Will the tyres change for next year and will probably be giving an advantage to anyone who decided to forego this test?
Too many questions.
So all I have from this test is questions. I have no answers, only speculation and more questions.
Defo a sweeper there. Don't whistle it.
Sorry.
I asked for a sweeper. I don't want you to whistle it.
Well, I have my sweeper turned down, by the way. I'm going to do that again. It's a bit of a quiet sweeper.
Right, what have we got left? this is turning.
We still have listeners left. That's good. We haven't scared anybody away or bored anyone senseless. Hello, people.
I thought you were frustrated that they were all disagreeing with you.
No, I wasn't frustrated at it. I was just surprised that there was no consensus at all, other than that we were wrong.
But I think the Ferrari thing, I mean, that you can't have a consensus on that. Everyone is going to have opinions.
Hmm. Let's have a look. Working at the last race, 17th, 15th, 15th, did not qualify. I was up, yeah, 5th, 8th, 8th, 10th. So very inconsistent. That isn't, yeah. Okay then, Ryan, if you don't mind, can you give me a quick comparison between Kamui? So is it that the Sauber is fast in some places and slow in others? Or is it that Perez is fast in some places and slow in others? Because 2/8 and a 5th is very good. But 17th, 17th, 15th, 15th.
Hmm.
Luke, yeah.
I left on my list. Mm. What do you have to say about Sky and the BBC? Is that actually a topic worth doing? Because we've done it a lot.
No.
You don't even know what you wanted to say now, do you? Your mind has gone back. I don't know. At the beginning, you said, write down Sky and the BBC. So I did.
Mm.
I don't know.
But we were talking about something and I didn't want to repeat myself. I didn't want it to... Can anybody remember what we said at the start of the show?
Oh, that's not embarrassing at all. We are so professional. It's amazing.
I was going to mention the fact that George Lazenby would be better. But no, I don't care. No, take it off your list.
Good. In that case, what we want to do is talk about the game.
Yeah.
Did that just come out today?
The video preview.
Yeah.
Came out today. I don't know when Lukey might be able to tell us, or any other gamers in the comments might be able to tell us when it was announced.
That's all right.
That we just want to know when.
Just need to somewhere to anchor it. They're all disagreeing with each other. They're disagreeing with each other for nothing. I'm so confused.
It's supposed to be chilled out.
You created anarchy.
I'll tell you what the problem is. Can I tell you what my problem is now? Can I moan and
where are we going to start?
My problem with Feet Up Friday. I have two issues with Feet Up Friday. The first being that in the summer, the vibe is wrong.
Yeah.
Because it's daylight. And you can't have candles. And you can't be like chilled out. And it's like, it's just sunny.
We're actually shutting out the sunshine.
Yeah, we either need to like put blackout blinds up or something, but it doesn't feel like an evening show. It feels like a 4 o'clock in the afternoon show. And I can't have candlelight and dimmed lights and like a nice atmosphere and chilled out discussing things in a pub kind of atmosphere. Partly because it's too bright, and also because I can't drink.
Yeah.
And that is a problem. I have orange squash to do this podcast, and it just is very different. It's totally changed the vibe. And it's only temporary, and I know that soon it will get dark. And soon we'll have to drink and life will be good again. But right now, it's very weird.
You think life is not good now?
No, I'm saying the concept of Feet Up Friday, which was to chill out and discuss stuff at the end of the week, it doesn't work in the summer.
Yeah, that's interesting. We need Feet Up Friday in the winter and we need a different show in the summer.
You need a log fire vibe to go with Feet Up Friday. You can't have a log fire in the height of summer. Even in British summer, it's too hot for a log fire. That's all I'm thinking.
That is interesting. So we need a summer show.
Yeah. So just throwing it out there. I've just noticed. Hold on a second.
He's got some analysis to be doing. Hold on. We need some graphs.
Can you give us a live graph now? Put it into Excel now, right? that's backwards in Silverstone. Kobe's 3-6 up. Really?
In qualifying. But those results aren't massively better, are they?
No, they aren't.
I mean, there's...
They
are quite a bit
fourth
better.
Fourth is better, actually, isn't it? No, they are better.
Well, 5th, 8th, 8th and 10th is three top 10s. Four top 10s. God, it's late on Friday. I can't help it. I've had a hard week.
Okay, so you said more top... Right.
7, 9, 4 is 3.
But it's 4 is higher than 5.
Yeah, I don't even know what I'm looking at, actually.
You're comparing Kobayashi's qualifying to Perez's qualifying.
Oh, right.
And Kobayashi is up on Perez.
Yeah.
Which is interesting, because in theory, Perez is the lead driver and Kobayashi is the erratic one.
No, Perez is temperamental. Right, okay. let us move on for now. You can come back to that in a minute. Right. Out of the blue, out of nowhere, it was a big surprise to everyone. Codemasters, the people that have licensed F1 to make the games for the PlayStation and Xbox and things like that, they came up with...
Spoken like a true gamer.
Absolutely. They came up with a new concept, F1 Race Stars.
And it looks just like Mario Kart.
It's sort of Mario Kart F1 styly.
Perfect.
Little bobble-headed characters.
It is what we've been waiting for, even though we didn't know we were waiting for it.
No, all we've seen is the name, obviously, and a sort of teaser video where the little bobble-headed characters, little Fernando Alonso, little Lewis Hamilton with his little beard and everything. Fantastic attention to detail. They line up in their cars on the racetrack and go off, and then it goes up like a roller coaster.
It goes up like a Hot Wheels track. It's the best description, even though you don't know what that is.
I had a Hot Wheels car or two.
Did you?
I had brothers. I mean, I still have brothers. anyway, I am...
You stole their Hot Wheels and killed them, didn't you?
I'm rubbish at racing games. So although this does appeal to me just as a concept because I like the characters, you know, what do I know about racing?
If it's like Mario Kart... that is the Formula One that Bernie has always dreamed of. Formula One racing with shortcuts and jumps and cars bumping into each other and loop the loops and all that kind of thing. I think it will be absolutely fantastic. It's the kind of game that I can get into because the current Codemasters game is fantastically detailed, but it requires an awful lot of effort and commitment and time,
I think,
which I don't have. I like throwaway games, which I can just dive into and then dive out of and forget all about. And this new game fits my needs perfectly.
I think Lukey, who is the expert on gaming things, he was saying, I think it was on Twitter, that the F1 2012 and 2011 and all those things are for dedicated people. This is for not dedicated people, the casual gamer. And it's good that they're doing both, whereas the previous people to make the game just concentrated on the once a year update to the same format all the time. Mm. Whereas this was a complete surprise. No one knew it was coming. It's something fun and exciting, and it's good use of their F1 license.
Indeed. And a shout out to Merklin. A shout out to Merkin in the comments. Mario Andretti Kart would probably make a nice name. That would work. I like that. It's perfect for me. I'm going to buy it. I'm going to buy a console purely to play this game.
I was going to say, how good it is. You're going to buy it, but we don't have a PlayStation.
I don't care. I'm going to get one. This is my kind of game. Kobayashi! Genius. I love the comments.
That's why we do the shows.
Is it as good as Mario Kart? Yeah, well, I don't know. We haven't played it, but in theory, yeah.
Is it as good as what?
When we played, you remember we played at Giggles' about 3 o'clock in the morning, we all played Mario Kart.
I do not. I remember rowing.
You remember? Oh, did we play rowing as well, did we? Okay. I don't remember that. I trust you. I recall Mario Kart, and that may have been earlier
in the year. Like canoeing or something.
Right.
That's all I remember. If I have a bad memory, I can't help it.
Right, I can't beat Kobayashi, really. That's it for me. I'm done. We'll just call it now.
Right, probably another sweeper thing there because I've just got sight stuff. Although we haven't been able to record anything recently, the website has been manic, especially this past couple of weeks. We've had so many guest posts. It's been absolutely incredible.
Unprecedented.
We've still got new features coming in. People are writing posts about their experiences on track. We had a new on track with Kai.
Love that series. If anybody else has recently gone out on a track day anywhere on any continent and taken up the art of precision driving in any form, it could be karting, it could be performance cars, whatever, we love to hear from people's first driving experiences. Kai wrote about hers, was it last year, maybe perhaps even 18 months ago, the first post, and then she's written a second. She's gone back after a long gap and how her approach and her day has changed between that period.
Yeah, we've got poetry, we've got cartoons, we've got people listening to podcasts and telling us all about them, podcasts other than our own.
Shock horror.
I know.
I can't believe people listen to other podcasts. It's not, you know, it's not like we haven't made you loads and loads and filled your, you know, all your weeks and
months. They had to go
months.
Off and listen to other things.
Oh, is that what
and
it
report
was?
Back. So essentially for the last few weeks, all I've been doing is being a sub-editor, which, you know,
It's a glamorous life.
It's not the most glamorous life, but the content has been incredible. If you go to sidepodcast.com, there's so much to look at. You can spend hours there.
And not only that, there is more to come. There is, as this live show finishes, there's another great guest post to go up. I think we've got a further guest post on Saturday. That will be, I think that's from Bridge. That's a fine guest post. Yep. There's more in coming. I mean, there's so much stuff coming down the line. It's amazing. The efforts from the community are just incredible.
It's worth every second of sub-editing because the creativity is just amazing, and we're so happy and proud and privileged to share it.
It is privileged. I mean, if you look at the articles, each article in the feature section, they're more than 1,000 words long. These aren't just throwaway pieces that people are putting together. So much thought and so much effort has gone into these. I insist everybody, if you listen to the show, please go to the homepage, top right, featured articles. Make sure you go through everyone on the list because they are all fantastic. You won't be disappointed. Look on Sidepodcast homepage. There is something for everybody. I guarantee it.
While we're talking about the website, we have had quite a lot of complaints recently. I don't know if complaints is the right word. Suggestions, feedback, complaints that people can't find the events. We have live events and
such
threads.
Such as this one.
This is live streaming event. We have threads for the races and practice sessions and all that, and for other things we have recently done Wimbledon and the Euros and all that. We're going to do the Olympics soon, but people can't find them and they are getting confused. We are going to work on that.
There's two things to say. Firstly, I understand why people are struggling to find them because it's only the only place you can sort of, they're visible is on the sidebar. They're on the homepage, but they're a little way down there. What's interesting is because events aren't all necessarily Formula One, we sort of want to keep them tucked away in the corner, because where we went wrong with SciPodcast 18 months ago was that the Formula One bit of the site kind of vanished.
Yeah.
And it was, you looked on the homepage and it was anything in the world at all but Formula One. And this, we still want to have time for the non-Formula One parts of the site. But if you're a new person who's never seen SciPodcast before, you want Formula One front and center. At the top will be is Formula One, and all the stories and the features, they're all Formula One. And then as you go down the site, you've got the extra bits and it's almost like the secret parts of SciPodcast, which only the dedicated listeners and dedicated readers know about. And that's the events. So it's almost like if you're interested in following the live stream, if you're interested in joining in the comments, if you're interested in taking part in all these interesting bits, you almost have to work a little for it.
Yeah.
You know, you put your effort in and then you find it.
I understand the people saying they can't find it, but to me, it's obvious because I go to sidepodcast.com/events and have a look there because there's a great table that tells you what's coming up and what's live and everything.
Yes.
And that isn't obvious, perhaps, from the homepage, but once you know it's there, you should just go there.
You can bookmark sidepodcast.com/events just as you should bookmark sidepodcast.com/features, because
yes,
those are two fine pages that continuously that continuously updates, and you want to keep your eye on it, and you want to make sure you don't miss out. Also, for your bookmark list, SoPodcast/comments has been updated in this past week, and now it's much easier to follow multiple discussions across the site, easier than it's ever been. I know we've made a lot of changes to the comments recently, but this one is a positive thing as opposed to something we've removed. And we've added lots of functionality, and you can't miss out on any conversation as you could in the past. It's quite simple to track what's going on. That's sidepodcast.com/comments to see what people are talking about and what are the hot topics on the site at the moment.
But back to the events thing just quickly, we are going to look at sort of putting the time and things on the homepage as well.
There's definitely improvements to be made.
We're not writing it off completely, but also it's not going to be a massive banner right at the top.
Yes, that's and this sort of comes back to our disinterest or our dislike of RSS feeds. I know we had some discussion about this a long time ago, and we've taken live events out of RSS feeds because the way the feeds work, it's linear, and the latest post is always at the top, and it pushes the other posts down. Whereas with SoPodcast, you really want certain posts to be banner posts and big and flashy and cannot miss these posts at all, and then other posts sort of be tucked out the way down the side, which are not necessarily the most important bit. And it's just that's sort of why you won't find live events in the RSS feed, because they will push away. You don't want a Wimbledon post to push out someone's 1,000-word article, which is, you know, someone puts a whole bunch of effort into writing this very long and well thought out and well written and brilliant article, and it gets shoved aside because we fancied commenting on some tennis.
Let's be honest, we had a look at the RSS feed and there were 4 football threads in a row, and we thought that's not good. Let's sort that out.
There were 2 or 3 football threads a night, and there was no Formula One content at all in the feed, and that's what it is.
Yes, the homepage should be the first place you go, but you might also know about the other places as well.
And the homepage is a really good, it gives you good insights to what we like, what's important, because you can see the big stuff at the top, and like this is what you should be focused on first, and then as you work your way down, and then when you get to the bottom, you've got things like, I think F1 Big Picture is sort of tucked away at the bottom, because we're not doing much with that at the moment. And you can sort of see our thinking and where we're at in terms of what we're doing by how we prioritize things on the homepage.
That was massively too long for what is a simple, we're looking at the events.
Sorry. You might have to edit quite a lot of this. We've been going on a long time.
I know. We've only got one more thing to do.
Okay.
We don't even need to do that.
What is it?
Film watch. SidePod film watch thing. SidePod film club. I'll just mention it to live people. Over the summer break, I was thinking about doing another SidePod film club.
You don't want to mention it on the show?
Nah.
Some other show?
Some other show.
Okay. Let's do it as a proper thing. Like you care.
Okay, sorry.
But you can cut it out of the show. Well, do you want to? Let's close the show then. Let's say goodbye to the show. And then we'll just do like a lock in for the live commenters.
Okay. Can
you do that?
Yeah.
Do you know what you're going to say goodbye to the show?
No.
Okay. Do you want me to say something?
No, because you've just finished talking a lot.
Oh, what are you saying about me?
On the homepage soon, you might find this new show, this edited show.
Is that where it
Feet
will be?
Feet Up Friday. Mm. It will appear on the homepage at some point soon because we're almost done. It's almost over.
Is it?
Mm.
But it was so brief.
I'm afraid to say.
Surely we've been away for so long, we should come back for longer.
I mean, there's plenty more we could talk about, but I think we've done enough today.
Are we going to come back again soon? Will there be more Feet Up Fridays?
Definitely.
Okay. I shall look forward to those.
Yes.
that's an odd ending to the show, but yeah, that's good.
No, I don't like it. I didn't know what to say.
Yes. Okay, do you want to, what else? Professionals are us. You know when you lose, when you sort of get out of practice, like Kimmy and Michael, and it takes a while to get back into it? Mm. Yeah, that, right now.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's all I have to say.
Okay. How are you, Christine?
Yes. I don't know how to do it.
We'll be back, Christine.
Shut up.
Oh.
No, to do the whole thing again? Yeah. I'll do it again. You sound tried there.
You sound tried. What did we try? Tired.
Oh. Well, you know, it's Friday. on the homepage, very shortly, there will be an edition of Feet Up Friday, because I'm afraid to say this one has almost come to an end. Then I'll edit it. Then it will be on the site.
We be done.
Yeah.
Did you enjoy it?
Well, I think it was pretty good. Not bad.
Did it all come flooding back to you?
I think we need a bit more practice, to be honest.
Did it come flooding back to you like rain at Silverstone?
Oh, God. We're right back where we started, aren't we?
Full circle. Better?
Yeah. Yes.
Who knew it was so hard to finish a show? So, I think we should have done a couple of Feet Up Fridays before we'd commit to doing them live.
Yeah, I know.
Well, like an offline practice.
Did we just do one live and then that was it and you went sick and...
Right. That's exactly what happened. The live server was working.
So we were happy. Two live shows because of the impromptu one as well. And this is our third.
Yep.
Well, no wonder we're so rubbish.
We did the Side Podcast Jukebox replay.
Yeah, but that wasn't live. But talking of which, that is another, what's it called? Summer break thing. Two summer break ideas. Another Side Pod Jukebox. Is that what we called it? I can't speak anymore. So if anyone has any suggestions for that, do send them in and I'll have a look.
Do you want to explain roughly quickly what Side Podcast Jukebox is, or are you assuming everybody in the comments knows exactly what it is?
Everyone knows what it is, but if you don't, it is sort of like re-highlighting, replays of all the shows we've done in the past, all the best bits of shows we've done in the past.
All the embarrassing things we said?
Yep, all the predictions we've got wrong, and maybe some that we got right.
Reliving them together.
Yeah, and it's completely...
You know when you go to... what's that thing where you stand in a circle and you sort of hug? Like therapy, not therapy.
Oh my God. I don't know where you're going.
Like Alcoholics Anonymous. It's like Side Podcast Alcoholics Anonymous.
Okay. It's completely random. So there's some like F1 minutes, there's some digests. It's an eclectic mix is what it is. But if anyone has any suggestions of things that they have liked in the vast 5 years of podcasting that we have done, please do send them in because I will have a look.
And come and hold hands with me in the comments.
Oh, shut up.
I like the
We're not doing therapy.
Okay.
And Side Pod Film Club is another potential.
So tell everybody what the film is going to be.
Well, I don't know.
I thought you decided.
No, you told me what it was going to be and I wasn't sure. You said it should be Senna and I'm not sure. I haven't seen it yet, but I don't think that it is a sort of sociable commenting type film. I thought it was a bit more emotional than that.
Surely if any film ever needed a group hug, it would be Senna.
Yeah, I suppose so.
Okay, well then, do you want some...
I haven't thought about it, so if anyone has any other suggestions, that is also good. Lou said, where can you send them? Christine@sidepodcast.com or sidepodcast.com/contact. Every time. Bless your face. You hate me, don't you? Yeah, that's fair.
I lost my train of thought. You're so mean. You don't have to take so much joy.
Oh, but it was so, took so long and I got there in the end.
You mentioned stickers. No, you are sending stickers. Like, worth a quick shout out in the comments if anybody is interested in some F1
sending
stickers,
them tomorrow. So get your address in quickly.
You just send Kristen your contact details. So you're looking for suggestions for the next film to live comment. It's more cheery than Senna.
Well, I mean, you know, Senna is F1 related, obviously, but I just think it's a bit of a depressing one when what we're trying to do is, you know, have some fun over the summer break. That was my thoughts.
I hadn't thought of it from that point of view. Yeah. Anything but Cars 2?
Yeah. There will be no Cars 2.
Yeah, okay. Bassano said, Bassano's seen it and he said it would break the mood. But then Bassano went and watched it in a group. Like theatre thing with other Formula One fans, right? What's the difference?
Well, the other thing is I know I'm not going to like it. And right. I know that everyone else is going to revere it a lot more than I do. And I don't think I'm going to win any friends by live commenting it. That's that's also part of it. So,
okay, fine. I shall not pursue that one any farther, but I don't have any other suggestions.
Well, no, I'll have a look around, see what's on the rentables and see what we can sort out. Jordan is going mad suggesting things, but they don't seem to be very motorsport related or
Raiders
car
of the
related.
Lost Ark. And Despicable Me. I mean, we could.
Despicable Me does actually have a car in it. Does,
you know,
Raiders
what I said,
of the Lost
like
Ark have
10
a car
minutes
in
ago
it?
About F1 being at the top.
Yeah.
And then like other stuff at the bottom and in the corner.
Yeah.
Point Break. Great film. All these are great films. I mean, no one's suggesting a bad film, right?
I don't know. I haven't seen Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Yeah. No, okay. Well, you know it's a good film, though.
No, I don't. I haven't seen it. It's famous.
I thought you didn't want it because it's got snakes in it.
If that's the first one, then yeah. Mm. I started to watch them. One of my brothers, the aforementioned brothers, had a box set.
That you killed.
Of them. Yeah. And
for their Legos.
Hot Wheels.
Hot Wheels, sorry.
and get my crime right, please. And I sat down to try and watch it, and the first one had like snakes in the first 2 minutes, and I couldn't cope with it. A pit of snakes? Who wants that in their life?
Oh, the tenuous connections are getting better though. Raiders of the Lost Ark has a Mercedes in it, and Despicable Me is Steve Carell in it, and Steve Carell has a car in his name. That's even worse. Oh boy. We'll work on that one. It'll be a long-term thing, but you're thinking August, mid-August.
I have no firm plans. I'm just mentioning it so the people know.
It's a good plan. I miss those. Right. Anything else to talk about?
No, I think that's it. Thanks to everyone for putting up with us. I think this has been a bit of a waffly show, but we are just getting back into it. I can't wait
to edit it down to something like 4.5 minutes of quality content.
Yeah.
And everything else gets binned.
Yeah. So yeah, thanks for putting up with us, and we'll try and do these more frequently and get better at it again and remember how to speak out loud.
The more we do
it,
the better we get.
Yeah, exactly.
Michael, Raikkonen, etc. should we have a song to play us out?
Yeah, I think so. Why
what
not?
What have we got here? Something like this? I think I recognise that.
Yeah, that sounds about
can
right.
Can we say thank you?
I did.
Oh, can I say thank you?
Yes.
Can I say thank you to everybody for not listening to Sky and instead choosing us, even briefly? I mean, I'm not as attractive as Georgie, but you know, I'll do.